Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast. On this episode of the none other than the Milan Weekly Podcast, well, we're going to talk our German striker. He finally opened his scoring sheet for us, and Füllkrug, he saves Milan this week against Lecce. We're going to talk everything about the club and this game. We're going to talk what we expect with the last couple of days here, the last 2 weeks of this transfer window. Are we going to get anybody else? So many rumors swirling around, possibly a new CEO. We're going to talk all about this. And of course, Mike's extension still floating out there. We'll see if it gets done in the next couple of days. We got the rest of City out to talk about. We have AFCON to talk about. We have a lot of news, a lot of things. It's me here, Fabio, filling in for Vinny T tonight with none other than Stevie P. Stevie, are you ready to get into everything? But before we do, Steve, I'm being like Vinny now. I'm messing up the whole intro. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel. You need to hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we drop a new video. Smash the like button. Leave a comment if you're watching later. Follow us on all of our socials. Follow us if you need an audio platform. We're on there too, Spotify and Apple and anywhere you get your podcast. And, of course, if you want to support the channel, ladies and gentlemen, Super Chats are open. Super Chats is how you support the channel. And, of course, if you want to become a Patreon family, join us on Patreon. Steve, are you ready?
Füllkrug!
Dominant win, a big first goal, but there's some uncomfortable questions. It's all coming through tonight on the Milan Weekly Podcast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Milan Weekly Podcast. I'm Fabio, filling in for Vinny T, of course, here with the co-host, Stevie P. Stevie, how are you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic. Goldie Füllkrug!
Guys, listen, it was a big goal that we're going to be talking a lot about with a tooth missing. But, guys, we got a poll up that we want you guys to get in there. If you haven't already, please vote on. The question is, and Stevie, you came up with this one. If you had to sit one, who is it? Your choices are you sit Leao, you sit Pulisic, you change the system instead, or you play both and trust Füllkrug. That's the four choices. Get in there. Give your own vote, and we're going to get to it later in the show. There's a lot of things that we got to talk about today, Steve. Obviously, guys, you know, we want to ask the chat, so hopefully we get some good responses here, right? Does this 1-0 feel closer to a 3-0 performance? That's really the question. I don't know for me if it does, but I want to hear what people feel out there because this game had a lot. Let's get straight into it, Steve. So, overall, this performance, right, it felt dominant, at least from what I saw, from start to finish. There's a little bit of a lull there towards the end of the second half of the first half, if that makes any sense. The second part of the first half. But what are your thoughts? Did you feel dominant from the beginning to end like I did?
Look, it was one of those games where I really didn't feel like Milan was in any danger. I was a bit worried in terms of like how we were doing in the final third. I felt like a lot of our actions were either getting stalled up by bad touches or misplays in the final third. But I didn't feel like Lecce was going to score. And, you know, a lot of people in the news this past couple of days and past couple of weeks, you know, big article, Zazzaroni from Corriere dello Sport saying that Allegri is the devil of calcio and blah, 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 blah. And that it's great that he's with Milan because Milan is the devil. And again, we don't know if it's trolling. We don't know if it's this, but, you know, we have to come to terms that, you know, if you sit at the top of the table and you belong to one of the seven sisters, a big, big part of being part of the seven sisters is looking good as one of the seven sisters. But it's not only that, Fabio. It's results driven. It's results driven. And what happens is games like this, right? You know, we'll talk about it during the Fubo TV roundabout, but you know, Juve lost to Cagliari. You understand? Like this is what Serie A is, right? And you want to secure 3 points. And again, did it feel dominant? It did. A lot of people criticized Milan because they were being lucky with the last couple of games and the results, getting ties when they should have lost, getting wins when they should have tied. But in the end, it's results driven, and the results from Mad Max are there, whether we like it or not.
I mean, maybe we don't like the particular style at times, but I don't think that's what this
but
game
offers. Fabio, at a certain point, this is what I want to tell everybody. Fuck you, fuck the style, fuck everything. But I don't care about the style. I want to win games with own goals. I want to win games 1-0. If I could take 36 wins with own goals, I will take 36 wins. We have fucking Interista out there dancing because they would possibly win a Scudetto with possibly not beating one of the top four teams.
Well, that's the difference in this particular game is that, you know, you can kind of go back to the Como game with the conversation of like, look, Como plays a certain style, right? It didn't lead to results for them, but we played kind of ugly, but we came away with 3 goals and a result. This game, same thing. We had a lot of possession. We were in their territory majority of the time. We had chances, you know, but there was a lot of wasted things. So, I mean, is all that possession, and I would say to you, being more knowledgeable in regards of coaching and everything else that you are, what happened? Because we had a lot of possession, but then something around the 20th, 25th, 30th minute, did we start to kind of fall in a lull where our possession is not leading to anything. Let's be honest. Lecce didn't come to win the game. They didn't even come to try. I think no. Sotil was the only one who really provided anything from them. But why did it feel like, you know, Milan couldn't hit that next gear? Or was that just me?
It's the squad. It's what we have. You understand? It's if it's not clicking from the beginning and we don't capitalize on those early goals, and again, soccer is beautiful like that, right? We've scored early and dropped points. We've scored late and won points, right? There's no recipe to this. Like this is what really aggravates me of how we cover soccer and how we cover Serie A or any league nowadays. We try to find like a perfect recipe. There's no perfect recipe to getting 3 points because every day, every match day is something different. There's always something different in every match day. And this match day here was uncharacteristic to what everybody thinks. Milan had the dominance in terms of possession and statistical numbers. If we go to Como's game, we didn't have statistical numbers, but we scored 3 goals, right? So that's the greatness of this game. Is that you can have all the statistics you want. Barcelona back in the 2000s and the 2010s had 98% possession, but then lost games 1-0. The tiki taka is great until someone breaks the tiki taka, and again, we want to go, you know, and that's something that irked me, you know, like Fabregas. I think he's a great coach. He was a great player. You know, has a lot of experience as a player. I think his comments were a bit. Hey, it's about me. Like, this is my way to play, and this is about me. Well, that's great there, Fabregas.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But I bet you as a player, you would rather get the 3 points than, you know, have the style points and zero moving away from that. And you lost the game 3-1. Because sometimes you're going to need to shift. You're going to need to adapt. A lot of people, we've always said, they have a plan A. Simone Inzaghi was famous for that. Fantastic plan A. But as soon as plan A doesn't work, he has a lot of trouble switching to a plan B. And a lot of people criticize him that he didn't have a plan B. I bet you he did. But the ego is hard to break when you believe in a style of play. Mad Max is a unicorn because he's crazy. He doesn't care about the style of play. For him, it's results driven. You want to win in Italy. I bet you that a lot of people, and Juventini included, because then Thiago Motta was the next coming of baby Jesus. Thiago Motta's coming to save. Thiago Motta's coming to make us play beautiful football. Thiago Motta right now is out of a job doing commentary for ESPN Nueve.
Nueve? But look, I want to get just back in regards to this game, right? So do you think 1-0 is really like an indicative score line when you look back at this game? Does it kind of flatter Lecce? Like, it makes it seem like Lecce really was at least in it. And technically, one good opportunity, and they could have been. But it just never was there for them. Lecce was never in this game. I don't really understand their mentality. I mean, you can kind of see something similar to what they did against Inter the game before, but it's like they just showed up like as if they didn't realize they're in a relegation battle and they needed to fight. And Milan, I thought, should have done better. So that's, to me, I look at it as like, why is Milan still struggling to kind of kill games like this? Why did we have to wait late? And again, it's a lot of individual performances that are just not getting up to snuff, right, Steve? I mean,
yeah,
why shouldn't we have been 2-0, 3-0 on this team when I honestly cannot remember any time Mike had to do anything, because I don't think he had anything to do. So how did we not kind of really show our dominance against a team like this? I know it doesn't matter in the scheme of things, but
this is, you know, at a certain point in the chat, if it wasn't the Patreon chat, it was the Milan Club Montreal chat. Guys, I said it. It's enough playing two guys that we think are strikers that are really not strikers. Yeah. So whether we like it or not, Leao is not a striker, and Chris Pulisic is not a striker. We're playing them in positions where they're obviously not comfortable. Sometimes against Lecce, you saw both Leao and Pulisic make the same run. That can't happen. You can't have. That's like in football, the two receivers making the exact same run. The quarterback's going to... He has to throw it to someone, and usually, more times often than not, no one's going to catch that ball. And this is what happens when both are making the same run. There's no dynamic alternative for someone to, you know. And he's right, 100%. Neither is Ngoku. The only true striker we have right now is Füllkrug.
And perfect segue, right? He gets his big moment. He comes in. Only gets about, 17, 18 minutes? And within 4 minutes, almost within a 2 minute, he almost flies that other one. But it kind of flicks away from him. I thought also De Winter could have done a little better there. It falls kind of like right at his legs. Could have made it in. Big ups from Trinidad and Tobago. What's up? So Füllkrug, all right. Do we finally have a proper striker? He makes a proper striker goal. Let's not move away from the fact that it's great work from Salamakis there. It's great work from Gabbia to find him, because we've got to give him the hockey assist. But overall, let's talk our striker here. What were your thoughts on his goal?
So I think that's great. Sometimes Milan want to hold possession a bit too much. And, you know, we criticize a lot of you know, being direct and being vertical. Gabbia showed his range, you know, from time to time he does. So does Pavlovic when he's healthy. You know, they try to play that long ball into space where someone can run on it. And when we saw, when Salamakers is willing to work and keep things simple, Salamakers is very effective, you know. And now he comes off with a knock, but does the work that he has to do to get that cross in. And that's a striker's goal. It's a poacher's goal, right? You know, yeah. We're not going to see Leao in that spot. We're not going to see Pulisic in that spot because they're not used to being in the right place at the right time. They're used to creating their own goals, right? Which is great to have as a secondary striker, but now you have two who want to create their own and don't really play well with each other. Guys, let's be honest. Pulisic and Leao do not play off each other very well. They create zero together, and it's very hard. And I find that Pulisic is doing all of the work while Leao is trotting like as if he's just got a Barbie or he just got a pony for his fourth birthday party. I'm being honest.
Oh, my God.
He got a pony, right? But Füllkrug is in the right place at the right time, in the six. He's going to get that. And the guy is playing with broken toes, right? That's true. So let's give him, you know, let's give him chapeau. Yes, it is a break. He's able to play. He's able to go with the pain. Is he the solution forever? No. But was Giroud the solution forever? No. This is what we need from AC Milan and the management. We need to look past the Füllkrug, unfortunately, right away. We need to look past. We need to know what's happening after Füllkrug or what could be a good, you know, a good
substitute
primary and Füllkrug as an alternative, because the solution to Champions League football is not Füllkrug.
No, but we'll worry about Champions League football when we get there, and that's a conversation for later on. But in regards, it's a good confidence boost that he gets in there, scores in front of the Curva Sud. I mean, to me, I was happy. So, guys, I want to kick this to you guys in the chat. All right, is Füllkrug now the starting number nine? I mean, he is the number nine, but is he our starting number nine? Should he be in there replacing one of the two, or should Allegri be looking at different things or changing formation to work him in with a Pulisic and Leao? These are all questions we're asking the chat. Put it in there. We'll check out some of your answers. Let's talk a little the midfield now, Steve, because we got two guys that got rotated in. Smart on Allegri to say, you know what? Lecce is the opportunity to go in there and give Ricci some time, and we got to figure out what we have in Jashari. I know he's been hurt. I know he's still, you know, on the comeback of 2 months now, but here's his opportunity. Give him first full start, also not to beat Modric into the ground. We give Jashari a chance out there. And to me, very impressed. A lot of positive signs here. I thought Jashari did a lot of good work. Particularly any time the ball might have been dispossessed, he worked really hard to get the ball back. What were your thoughts seeing this energy? He had intelligence. He's calm under pressure. I mean, there was a growing influence in the game. What were your thoughts about Jashari?
It's you hit the hammer right on the nail. With Jashari, it's confidence. You saw that he was confident this game. He wasn't afraid to make a mistake, and when he made a mistake, he actually got it back. Great soccer drill, you know, win it back. That's what you want to do. You want to be someone who's going to take risks. I have no problem with that. I have no problem you taking risks. And you saw he was able to take some risks. He did, you know.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Sometimes dribble into like a pyramid of four Lecce players, which is not going to work in Serie A. might work in the EPL because they're all pylons or cones that you see in the traffic, but it's not going to happen in Serie A. That's for sure.
Well, it was working in the Belgian league, that's for sure. But I don't know.
Well, there you go. But that's the biggest part, you know, right? If you're going to, from league to league, everybody has their strengths. And in Italy, it's going to be defense first. It's going to be something that they're going to ask for. You can't walk into those situations because they will bamboozle you into walking into those situations. But I thought Yashari was great. For me, Steve Polillo, watching the game, Yashari was the man of the match.
Do you think he's earned enough to get more minutes? It obviously, it seems to be there's never an option of playing Modric and him together. They are 1A and B. So if you're counting on Modric, how much time do you envision seeing?
This decision
once a week.
Yeah, this decision falls on Modric. Unfortunately, Modric is going to dictate how much he can play and how he feels. Because if Modric is fit and Modric is fresh, like Roma Milan, you're seeing Modric. You're not seeing Yashari in that game to start.
But I hope I see him get some time, especially. I feel like pressure moments, maybe not the best. But once we come, we do have a couple other games coming that we'll look at later and kind of talk maybe where we could see any time coming in. But I thought he did great for his first game. Another one, let's give him some shine. Ricci. Ricci needed another good performance because we're getting sick and tired of seeing Loftus-Cheek and seeing Fofana. All right? They're always struggling to find the ball. God knows they don't know how to shoot the ball. But
yeah,
we didn't see that issue with Ricci. Ricci has a nice opportunity that he does put a good shot. Again, Falcone makes saves. Falcone was a superstar for Lecce. Their only superstar. And he came, and he, again, showing why he's another great Italian goalkeeper. But Ricci had a lot of positional discipline. He was able to kind of circulate the ball. He was just in the right place, and I thought he did really well for the 72 minutes that he got. What were your thoughts on Ricci's game?
I think Ricci was great as well. You know, yes, against Lecce. Let's see. Ricci is someone that I would like to see against Roma. I would like to see how, he's from Serie A. He's played against them with Torino. I think that's another good game for him to say, for us to see what kind of performance we get in a high-pressure game wearing the Milan jersey against Rome, which, again, it's going to be something that's very important. I agree with ChatGPT Frank. He's making a case that he's surpassing Fofana and Loftus-Cheek, right? So
Loftus-Cheek is terrible.
We don't know where Loftus-Cheek plays anymore. So if he's the second striker,
hopefully he played somewhere else. That's what I would say.
Because but Loftus-Cheek missing that chance, that could have been almost
through the legs. Oh yeah, my,
that could have been almost really bad.
Just terrible, terrible. That I'm pulling heavily for Ricci to move up the depth chart and get those two out of there. You know, Fofana is Fofana. We don't need to beat that dead horse. But Loftus-Cheek is just, again, he's the opportunities he has. You have an opportunity to score and you let it go through your legs.
Fofana, just before you move on, they posted something for his birthday, the French national team. He takes a shot from outside the 18, a laser beam to the top corner. I was like, is it our Fofana's birthday or like this is AI generated? What's going on?
No, it's too much with the two of them. I think we've run our course with them. We need to see the guys that we purchased this offseason make a difference. And I'm glad to see what we saw from Yashari and Ricci. Now we need to talk about El Fenomeno. All right. The horse himself, Allegri's distant son, who he said, no, after one game, he said, go get me my goddamn Rabiot right now. And like Rocky calling for Adrian, boy, you're telling me, there's people that like everybody, nobody's, untouchable, right? We would say that maybe Mike, everybody else, But Rabiot is untouchable now. He's a must start, right, Steve? His physical presence has just been amazing. We've seen his shooting ability, unbelievable. I still say the best pickup we got this year is Rabiot. We have now lost since he came. And even the games that we really suffered when he went down just for those couple of weeks. But wow, what he brings to the midfield, the balance, everything, he can't be dropped. He needs to play every game that he can physically play.
He can't be dropped. And during the Italian commentary on Fubo, they were calling him Il Cavallo. And he looks like a horse.
But is it because of the Cortomuso? I mean, a little play on everything? Maybe.
I don't know, but at one point he came so deep into our own half of the field and almost like, you know, from Estupiñán, he said, like, just give me this ball because you're not going to do anything with it. I'm going to run right through everybody and I'm going to get this ball out because you guys don't know how to absorb and get out of pressure. That's basically what he told Estupiñán.
There's a lot of things. Again, Estupiñán didn't start great. I think he had an error in the first minute. So maybe, oh boy, here we go again. But again, his thing is more, he starts to grow into the second half. Again, I don't look at a game like Lecce and hang too much on it. Probably couldn't have an assist later on. I think he should have had an assist. Rabiot wasn't 100% accurate this game. He did have one great opportunity that he skied for Fana-esque. But other than that, Rabiot is undroppable, guys. So we ask you, can Milan afford to not stop Rabiot? So that's what we want to say. Going forward, Rabiot, first of all, I think we all thought it was Rabiot and Modric. But Rabiot is clearly the difference maker this season in our midfield. And since he showed up, we've been completely different. And we got to keep it going with him. Now, let's get to the other part, right, Steve? Because we talk about our goalkeeper. We talk about our defenders. Defenders are all right, right? But the problem is our strikers. And no matter what Gio said this morning on the report card, if you guys haven't seen it, check out the report card video. Gabbia doesn't need to be the one scoring headers. Yes, he should complete some of them, but he's not a forward, all right? What we need to figure out is who are our strikers? Because Pulisic and Leao together as our strikers and including in this game, they're both elite attackers, but they're not number nines. And the way we're playing them, it's not the way that they play well off each other. So is this hurting us, Steve? Is the spacing and finishing hurting us? Are these guys just not healthy and we keep just trying to put them out there and expecting them to do too much?
So I don't know about Pulisic. I just think he's got the yips. He just can't find the back of the net. He finds himself in front of goal, and it's just something that either it's a confidence thing, but he can't find the back of the net, and we saw it again against Lecce. For me, Leao is injured. Now, Leao, we always said it. You know, I said it with Vinny. I said it on every goddamn podcast that I've ever been on. Leao is a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
His speed is speed to kill. His soccer knowledge is below average. Now, if you take away his speed, you're left with a below average soccer player. I don't care about the last minute goals. I don't care about the stupid little flicks and tricks. I care about what I saw against Lecce. Every single counterattack was stalled because Leao had a bad touch on the ball. Every single type of counter we wanted went to Leao and he dribbled. We spoke about Yashari dribbling into, you know, a group of four. Leao, minus his speed, dribbling into a group of three or a group of two, leaves Leao in no man's land. Guys, he's in no man's land and he cannot. He cannot do it. He cannot do it if he's injured. He has to be rested. He has to be sat. I answered my own poll question because the answer of the poll question is sit Leao. That's sit true. Leao. Unfortunately, it's sit Leao.
Do you agree with Zion Train here? I said it before. I'll say it again. With Allegri playing the 3-5-2, it's time to cash in on Leão. Unless we switch to a 4-3-3, it's not going to work out for him in this Milan. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's one of our talking points. Are Milan forcing a system right now that we don't have the players for?
Look, again, maybe. Maybe you cash in, but now you're selling at an ultimate low. So you have this huge buyout clause that you inserted in a contract because everybody in internet land who's a contractual lawyer wanted a huge buyout clause that we're never going to get, right?
Well, that doesn't
and mean now,
Milan, that, but that doesn't mean Milan can't
doesn't mean we have to give him away for free, but we're never going to get anywhere close to 170 million. Let's be honest. He's not a $170 million player. Plus, now you see that if he gets injured or he picks up a knock, you've lost, 70% of that player?
Yeah,
absolutely. And now you're playing him out of position because you want to play this 3-5-2. Maybe try the 3-4-3.
That's what I would say. It seems to be the
logical answer. because of the huge amount of midfielders that we have, this is why he wants to play 3-5-2. He wants to protect Milan. It's not about the beauty of the play. It's about protecting us where we will suffer the least. And you see that sometimes in our 3-5-2, we also include Loftus-Cheek as a second striker. No, because it becomes a 3-6-1.
That's exactly
whether right. we like it or not. When we defend, it's a 3-6-1 because he wants. He knows that at the back, whether we like it or not, without Magic Mike, we are a leaky faucet, a huge leaky faucet at the back.
Well, that's going to happen when you think Kony De Winter is your fourth best center back.
Absolutely.
And as soon as Pavlovic looks like he was in the UFC or something, and he's been missing ever since, now we have to play him. So, look, in regards to Leão, I think, yes, he's still playing hurt. He's trying to play through it. It's killing his style of play, playing in this kind of Allegri. Allegri wants him to be kind of a center forward at times, you know, and it just doesn't work. He's more of the attack on the wing. That's where he's able to take players on one-on-one, kind of what we see Salamakers do on the right side. And sometimes Salamakers has a good game. Sometimes he stinks and he looks like he's getting beat out. But in regards to Leão, I think people, you know, a lot of people are so quick to have this opinion of Leão, like just to move on from him or to constantly put him down. Again, Leão has scored the second most goals on the team. He has 3 game winners on his belt this year. And without him even being not 100% the entire season, he still has some value. He does provide a good through ball to Pulisic in this game that if Pulisic finds the end of it, now we're talking about an assist and a goal for both of our guys, and it seems a whole different outcome, right? But again, it didn't happen, so we have to sit down and think about what we do have. So the tough question that we have, and it's what Steve put it, if you had to sit one, who is it? So let's go to our poll here. Now that everybody's been marinating, we got 26 votes. They seem to be all on your side here. They're saying sit Leão. Now, I wouldn't go sit Leão. I would say it's time to change the system. You need to play both of them. Trust Folkrug. Get him in there. So I guess that's a bit of, I don't know if that's a bit of both of them. If we're changing formation, we're going to play all 3 of them. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'm hitting 2 votes there. But the majority of people feel like you. Nobody put sit Pulisic. Why do you think nobody even thought sit him?
Okay, you can't because he's our best player right now. Yeah, he has the yips. He hasn't scored goals. But if he scores those goals, he is our best player and creeping up to the, you know, top goal scoring level of Lautaro Martinez and goal contributions of top in Serie A, right? So you can't sit Pulisic, right? But
I agree.
You have to find a way to try to get them in. Maybe it's, you know, we try to go back to, you know, some sort of like, you know, hybrid Christmas tree. 3-4-2-1.
Yeah, something.
But you're going to have to suffer if you're going to play them both. And suffering with them both is having both of them behind the true number nine. And, you know, having both of them behind the true number nine, you're going to, that number nine is going to, you know, have to play off them, or, you know, they're going to have to play off that number nine. I think Pulisic can. I think Leao Hurt can't.
I think this one, Zion trade makes a good point, but Leao is not worth more than 60, 65 million, if that. I would take 55 to 60 for him. Leao will never get to Dembele, Rafinha, or Mbappe level. The 3-5-2 is working. Why fix something that isn't broken? Oh, man, I hear you. I hear you. But I wouldn't be so quick to rush to sell a talent like Leao. And you know what? I don't want to get offended by anybody's opinion, because that's not right either. All right? But I'm just saying, Leao is stuck through the hard times. You should stick through a little bit. Find a way to work in it. And this is also a topic we're talking about. Allegri doesn't want the guy out. That's what he says publicly. If he doesn't want him, he will be gone next summer. There will be, without a doubt. So if he still sees the value, I think most of us should see the value in that. There's not many players like Leao. I've said this countless times. Like you mentioned, he's a great athlete. It's because his body is ginormous. And Gio's out there is getting, you know, he's getting very turned on by my choice of words. But I'm just saying, this guy is a horse in itself. He's a big dude. A player like this, his legs are going to take a toll when you're trying to sprint and do everything that is expected of him. Hopefully, with the signing of Fulkrug, hopefully, if Jimenez decides to ever come off this fucking injury of his, maybe we'll have two center forwards and we can kind of look at other options. All that, let's kind of last touch of this game with Lecce. Allegri's substitutions, the timing of them, the impact or lack thereof. What were your thoughts on what Allegri did with this game?
Again, I wasn't 100% convinced that Pulisic had to come off before Leao. I think Leao had to come off before. And that was just because Leao was injured and Pulisic doesn't look like he was injured. I think that was a bit of a risk. I felt for Ricci coming off. I didn't think he needed to come off. I think he still had legs, you know, to do some damage in there. And for him, I think we put in Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who did absolutely nothing. So they were a bit underwhelming, the substitutions, to say the least. And I'm curious to see who he starts against Roma. Because if we start seeing Fofana and Ruben Loftus-Cheek against Roma, who Roma, you know, they invented and found a striker, apparently. I think it's going to be something that's going to be a little bit troublesome for us this weekend.
All right. So other than that, Gorto Musso was what was, advertised for Allegri. He wasn't going to wow you with his style of football. But in the end, Allegri is a winner, and we continue to keep rolling. 20 games undefeated. Not all, you know, wins, but undefeated nonetheless. And that means we need to get to our next segment. This segment is brought to you by Fubo TV Canada, the home from City A and the EPL in Canada. Subscribe. You can even listen to the games in Italian. Steve, let's start the first game. Pisa Atalanta. Pisa is a... They are they break cojones, all right?
Yes, they're a ball buster.
They are not an easy win, and let me not be remiss to say this entire week is about remembering Rocco Commisso, the president of Fiorentina, who suddenly died on Saturday. Very sudden. I don't know if he was sick, but it was a big loss for the entire city community. So every game had a moment of silence starting off. So let's just say everything here is about remembering Rocco, but let's talk Pisa Atalanta now, because this game, now Pisa missed two great chances in the first half. Goalkeepers really kept both teams in there, but Atalanta finds a goal late in the second half in the 83rd minute. before Pisa gets a deserved equalizer in the 87th. Any thoughts? Pisa stealing a point, Atalanta dropping 2 points. Thoughts on this game?
Look, it's not only Milan that drop points against the bottom dwellers, guys. I know that we focus a lot on it, and this is a Milan podcast, but there's teams out there, you know. We'll go to the next game. You'll see Udine, the reverse fixture. You know, Inter drop points to Udine. I'm not saying Udine is Pisa, but that's the beauty of Serie A. Game in, game out. I watched this game. It was a deserved draw, and that's what it finished. Sometimes that's, you know, the better team like Atalanta won't get the full points.
Yeah, and Pisa really, like you mentioned, they had a lot of good opportunities. Unfortunately, Udinese, they have maybe one or two that Sommer dealt with, but early in the 20th minute, Lautaro Martinez, he gets his goal for Inter. You know, somewhere Lord Figo in his underwear is dancing around, and they go up 1-0. Easy win for Inter. Again, they're doing the same, 1-0, putting the pressure on us. Thoughts on Inter's win here against Udine?
Just got it done. There's not anything more. Watch this game too. After Lautaro's goal, there wasn't too much after that.
And Udinese's goalkeeper does some good work, but they don't find anything to even get themselves back in the game. All right, the other one now, the defending champions, Napoli hosting Sassuolo. This game, Lobotka gets the goal in 7 minutes, gets them up. It was a great volley too. I believe it was saved. The ball kind of bounces back out. And from the top of the box, he scores. Juan Jesus makes an insane block on a chance from Sassuolo. And Milinkovic-Savic does what he does. He makes a couple of big saves too. Napoli just keep rolling, defeat Sassuolo. Thoughts on Napoli's win?
Look, Napoli at home, you know, they didn't impress too. They, you know, everybody, all week I heard, you know, Milan doesn't play beautiful football. Milan doesn't play this. Milan doesn't play that. We just went through games. Udine, Inter. Inter didn't play beautiful. Napoli, Sassuolo. Didn't play beautiful. And let's move on to Cagliari, Juve, who Juve actually played a good game and still went home with 0 points.
Because the trumpets were for Cagliari. They scored a great goal. I believe it's off a set piece. Finds Luca Mazzatelli, who shot the Juve faithful. And Yedlitz has an unbelievable chance to score to tie the game in the 84th minute, but it's deflected and it hits the post. And Juve drop all 3 points. I mean, I thought they were on board here. I thought everything was fine with Juve. This couldn't have happened, but here we are again. Any thoughts on this one?
Cagliari took their chance, and then Juve just unlucky. I'm really all there to make fun of Juve, but I watched this game, and this game could have finished 4-1 easily. If the ball moves an inch to the right, an inch to the left, it's 4-1 Juve. There's all the trumpets here for the Juve game.
All right, Parma, Genoa, 0-0. Both take a point there. Not much to talk about that game. Let's go to the next slide. Bologna playing Fiorentina. Now, in this game, you have to feel for Fiorentina. They're playing with a heavy heart with this one, finding out that their president passes away the day before. They still go on. They play. They say, you know, Rocco would have wanted them to play. They have a VAR goal taken away in the 19th minute, and then eventually they find it. What's this guy's name? Mandragolan, whatever the hell his name is. He makes it 1-0.
Mandragola.
And then Piccoli makes it 2-0 right at the half. What a goal, too. He's basically like the ball is just trickling there, and he just kicks it in, gets it 2-0. Bologna has a couple of chances. Rowe hits the post, and then Fabian gets an equalizer late in this. Excuse me, not equalizer. Gets one back in the second half. But De Gea makes a crazy save to keep the 3 points. And Fiorentina get a needed win. Any thoughts on this one?
Again, for Fiorentina, tough season. Just got so much tougher losing their owner. Not easy for a team of Fiorentina where they sit in the standings. I think, you know, it was written in the stars, you know, Bologna suffers the loss. And I think, you know, good on Fiorentina for getting the 3 points for Rocco Commisso.
Yeah, I think it's one of those that You know, you wouldn't have blamed them if they dropped the points there, but I'm glad that they didn't. You know, it's tough couple of years, and you know, obviously losing just Fiorentina, it's a rough season for them. Having to lose your president on top of it, it's just they needed the 3 points, they got it. Now Roma, Torino. Roma goes to Torino, gets the 2-0 win. The debut of Malin, who's on loan from Aston Villa. He gets a goal taken away for an offsides, but 3 minutes later, gets his goal. Dybala finds him, and it was a great... And then Dybala gets one of himself in the 72nd minute to keep it 2-0, bury the game. Any thoughts on this guy coming in for Aston Villa? Scoring right away seemed to be a difference maker. Look, for Roma.
Roma was in desperate need, just as almost as bad as Milan, to have a striker. They needed a striker. Ferguson, who they thought was the next coming of Holland, was not the next coming of Holland. Dobrek is always injured. They needed a striker. Gasperini wanted a striker. I'm pretty sure it's Zirkzee that they wanted from Manchester United, but Roma is not going to pay. So now they got to do with Malin, and we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Well, the next game, Cremonese takes on Verona, ends up 0-0 there. Not good for Verona. They needed to attempt to get more than 1 point. And then the final trumpets, Lazio hosting Como. And this time, Como shows that beautiful football can happen, and you can still win the game. 3-0 here, multiple goals by Nico Paz, even despite missing a penalty while getting it saved. I don't like calling a miss. And they score within 90 seconds. Nico Paz gets 2. This was a bad night for Lazio. Any thoughts here?
Lazio's in trouble. I see a lot of Lazio rumors. A lot of more people are going out than coming in. And yeah, the people that are coming in, as we all do with every team, and I'm going to include myself, everybody's the best player when they're coming in, and it's not even close with what's going out, except for, you know, who they sold, Titi Castillejo to West Ham. That was a steal, $30 million in their pocket, but they need to reinvest. Lazio is weak. Sarri needs players, and Lazio's in trouble if they cannot reinforce.
All right, so let's look at the standings. Still the same at the top. Inter, 3-point lead in first place. Milan, 3 points behind. Napoli, 6 points off of Inter, 3 points off of us. Roma right there behind them at 42 in fourth place. Juve dropping all 3 points and sitting in fifth place with 39 points. Como, 37. I mean, Atalanta there right on the outside. Bologna behind them. Lazio behind them. We're still looking at the bottom here. Lecce now falling into the bottom. Fiorentina has, on goal differential, pulled themselves out of the bottom three. Lecce, Pisa, and Verona. Verona and Pisa definitely only 3 points behind Fiorentina and Lecce, but still, there's a big gap now, 6 points to Genoa and Calgary at 22. So it's worry time for Verona, Pisa, but looking at the standings, what are your thoughts?
I think right now the three teams that I two out of those three teams in the relegation zone really don't play attractive football and really don't look like they're going to get results, and that's Lecce and Verona. Pisa is a ball buster. Fiorentina has struggled, but I think they will stay safe. Fiorentina is going to be safe. Now there's something else to play for other than just them playing terrible football. Now they're playing for their president, and it's time to tie your shoes and put on your big boy pants and get out of there. I'm worried for Genoa. I just don't think Genoa is going to be able to stay up. If someone falls in that bottom three, I think it's Genoa.
I think we're looking at, like you mentioned, Lecce and Verona. Lecce is only 3 points above Verona, but yeah, I just think Verona doesn't look good. Lecce, if any inclination for the last two games that they've showed, they are in big trouble. I would just lament what you said. Fiorentina will be much higher pretty soon. I think you could see in the next 5 to 10 games, they get themselves back up into the 10, 12, 13 area, where it's exactly, you know, with such a terrible start, I think is a decent finish for them. You know, I think there's enough space. I don't see the I see the three at the bottom right now. And again, I know Pisa, you know, they've been playing hard, but unless they start to string some wins, I see them sitting in that bottom three. Could be the three that we see right now go down, and I wouldn't be surprised. But that's City Alpha for this week, match 21. Let's go. That segment was brought to you by FUBU Canada TV, the home of City A and the EPL. All right, Steve, let's go to our next segment now. We got, like we mentioned, you know, January 19th already. We're only a few more, less than 2 weeks left. So let's kind of look around now and say, what do we need to do, right? And when we talk about what happens in the transfer market, there's a lot of rumors. The rumor mill is always turning at this time. Mercato is open. But there's some piece of rumor that we have to kind of address first, because before you sign players and everything else, this particular person has a big say in whether you sign those players. And if this person is possibly on the outs pretty soon in the summer, how much is he going to be investing this year? Maybe Elliot says, no, let's keep a kibosh on everything. But this is the rumor that's going on. It kind of plays in with our buddy Vince Mancini's question. Let's bring him up first. So, hey, gents, lots of news going around regarding Jerry, Redbird, and Elliot. Question is, are you two reporters at the press conference that features Mr. Redbird himself? What are the two questions each of you would like to ask him and why? All right. So are we talking about Jerry here? We're asking Jerry questions. Is that kind of the question you think, Steve? So what are we asking Jerry in regards to what do we expect and why, right? So let you go first here. Well, what are you asking Jerry, I guess?
What's your project?
Yeah.
What's your project? Because, you know, you had this excuse and this card in your back pocket where, you know, you owed $500 million to the Elliott Fund and you were handcuffed or, you know, chaperoned by Fiorilani, who's the gatekeeper of Elliott's funds, right? And whether we like it or not, Elliott did save Milan back in the day, and we're grateful for that. But now this team needs to move in a direction. What's the direction that you want to move in? Do you want to move into a Berlusconi-style direction where you're going to have to spend some money and you're not really guaranteed that you're going to get it back because the people that you're dealing with are from the dinosaur and stone ages, but your fan and your fan base is going to be happy? Or do you want to stay in this stagnant, we're gonna sign the Tijani Reindeers, we're going to make them play, or that someone's going to come knocking, we're going to sell them for 40, 50 million. It's tough, right? I don't know what his answer is going to be. It's going to be some political bullshit, let me tell you that much. But I want to know, Jerry, what's the project for Milan? Because a new stadium, whether we like it or not, we're sharing it with Inter. There's going to be funds from there. That's question number one for him. What's your project for Milan? My second question is, as part of the ownership conglomerate that takes care and, you know, revenue shares for Serie A, what are your expectations of Serie A in 2 years and in 5 years and in, let's say, 2032 when the Euros come? What are your expectations? Because you're Jerry Land. You know what it is to have a Super Bowl. You know what it is to buy the real estate. Like, you're a smart businessman. It can't be that you're there looking and sitting and watching Serie A and saying, hey, this is great. This is the league that I want to be part of.
No, there's definitely got to be some answers. And one thing that, again, we're kind of alluding to is that this report that's been coming out, and we're going to read it here. Jerry Cardano is close to repaying the $500 million loan to Elliott. As a result, Elliott's investors, advisors could leave the club, which is obviously Ferlani. He's Elliott's guy. So at the point, Milan's considering appointing a new CEO. The former ATP executive Massimo Cavelli is a possible replacement for current CEO Giorgio Forlani. Obviously, so many people who have had hatred for Forlani, me included, but you know, when I met him in person, he was a fairly nice guy. But does that mean I want to see him continue on if he's possibly one of the reasons, him and Elliot, to hold us back from purchasing more players? I don't know. If they're going to purchase Nkunku for $40 million, and it doesn't seem like we have a fucking clue why we did it, I don't think it's necessarily all Forlani all the time. But I would be happy to see him on the outs. We get a new CEO, because we had a lot of success under Gazidis. Gazidis knew what he was doing. So I wouldn't be against somebody who's more of a sporting CEO come in and invest money where it should be and help us grow the sport. Because the sports side, I know, contrary to some people's belief, but what you do on the field and you produce, what you produce in forms of victory and championships, that's how you drive money up for the club. So do it there. But what are your thoughts on this rumor with Forlani?
I think that Forlani, for the time that he's been here, is the gatekeeper of Elliot. He does what Elliot wants him to do for his investment, guys. There's not $5 here, guys. It's $500 million, and I keep on saying it all the time. Everybody, you know, I get frustrated too, but I don't have $5 million to repay, $500 million to repay his loan. This is money out of my atmosphere. I care about what happens to Milan. And, you know, if it's the tennis guy who takes his place, well, come, take his place, but from the business side. You're coming from the fucking tennis. You're coming from tennis. I'm sorry, you don't know fuck all about transfers. Don't jump into this stuff, right? You're going to be the CEO for Jerry's group now? Well, you're the CEO for Jerry's group. Take care of the fucking CEO stuff. Don't go into the day-to-day. That's my wish for these guys. You know, and you said it. Gazidis was fantastic for that. Numbers guy, finances, yes. Soccer, day-to-day, in front of cameras, never Ivan Gazidis. Almost never we saw him. Forlani, it seems like every single time Gazzetta dello Sport is around, he wants to be there.
It's a good point. It's a good point. All right, so last thing regarding the transfer rumors and transfer time, because it is January. Have you seen any players? I don't think they're even linking anybody anymore, Steve.
It's something that I always wanted, but now I feel like I'm a bit sad that what I wanted is coming true. Either they're talking to players or linked to players, and they're not letting it slip through the cracks of the locker room anymore, or we're just not linked to any players.
No.
Because I have heard nothing. Yes, only Camarda.
That's it.
Because
but
of the
that's
loan.
More, but it's also because we want to make sure his shoulder's not too fucked up, like we want to look after our investment. So it's not even like a possible player. So I think you're right. I would say like either they're keeping it so close to the chest that, all right, fine. Then, you know, maybe there won't be some sort of back and forth where they drive the price up on us. Or they're not doing anything at all and saying, no, guys, Jimenez is the other striker when he comes back. And that's it. We're not going to add. And I think, honestly, in regards to center back, that is a bad idea. And yes, we need another center forward. I'm not counting on El Bebote, all right? He's down for the count, like Vinny would say, like a wrestler. I don't know if he's going to come back in time to do anything this season. Then he's going to overcorrect because he's going to want to show something to get called up for the World Cup, when he's been out for months and months and months. No, this to me, it seems a little suspect. I'm like you. I love the Mercato. But after last season and some of the joke Mercatos we've had the previous seasons, I don't know what to think. You know what? Just let's not upset the equilibrium of this team right now and just figure out a way to get some of our players healthy.
And even, look, unfortunately, even if we purchase players, we don't even have the minutes to give the players that we have on the squad right now.
Yeah.
That's once a week, you don't have a lot of minutes to play, right? You know, and in the chat, this is a great comment. Yes, we failed. We failed at exactly this. We failed at exactly loaning our prized possession to a really scrap team that has no ambition. I said it at the beginning of the season. Didn't like that he went to Lecce. Could have found someone else. Would have liked to see him play more in a more offensive team. Didn't create, you know, there's X-Gen and what goals created stats and bullshit like that. Lecce's like lower than fucking 7 division EPL, you know, and 7 division EPL, the games finished 17-16.
Oh, man. Well, now, you know what? Those 6 division, they beat cup holders, all right? So things happen there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Huh? Yeah, yeah, very, very good segue. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't happen in Serie A.
All right, so let's just touch on one or two things before we're going to peace out. We're going a little long here. So, huge tournament, AFCON. Finally, I don't have to get upset about any of the Milan players going to AFCON. We don't have any, so it doesn't matter. But let's talk a little bit about what happened in the final. You wanted to touch about this one, so I'll leave it up to you here. Explain what happened. With Brahim Diaz, obviously a former Milan player, but there's a lot of guys, controversy in this game too.
Oh, controversy. This was the telenovela of soccer. This beat Il Mondo Caldissimo di Margherita Giocciara su video. Telenovela. This was out of control. Out of this world. Never seen before. Embarrassment to the game. Italy, Serie A, they've done a ton of stuff to embarrass soccer and themselves. But what I saw this weekend, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Senegal versus Morocco. Morocco, home team, AFCON, we know the way it is. It's an international tournament. I have all the respect for everybody who follows the AFCON teams. I am not saying anything about that. I'm just saying the tournament itself is an absolutely showcase circus of a show. First of all, can we leave Mendy's towel alone? Why the fuck do you want to go fucking take his fucking towel? It was like a child's play. It was like 2 toddlers. One guy of Morocco standing, I'm going to take your towel. I'm going to take your towel. And the guy of Senegal is saying, no, you will not take my towel. You will not take Mendy's towel. You want the towel? No. You want the towel? No. You want the towel? I'm taking the towel. It was fucking wild, Fabio. Then there's ball boys in Moroccan gear jumping over the advertisement trying to steal the towel.
I don't understand. What,
Jamie, Hakimi swapped towels. He took the blue one away. He brought in the white one. But I was
did they want the towel? Were they
so the towel, okay, the towel is this. And I got more educated on this. They don't want them hanging things there because some of the AFCON teams believe in black magic, voodoo style stuff. And for some reason, they think the God for fucking sake and towel is voodoo. Jesus Christ, where the fuck have we come? This is absolutely insane. Insane. Oh my God. And then it just gets worse. Goal called back on Senegal for no particular reason. No VAR, just go call back. So you know this is escalating to like telenovela style drama now. Then 98th minute, again, I saw it 1,000 times. I think, yes, it was a penalty shot. And then Senegal leaves the field. I'm sorry, guys. I've seen a lot of fucking crazy shit. I've seen people leave, you know, for racist stuff, which I totally agree. People have left the park because fans are throwing flares, knives, toilet bowls, fucking urinals, scooters. I agree with that. But guys, you cannot kill the integrity of the game leaving because you don't like the call. And you see, it's a calamity of errors with the AFCON because everybody just looks and segregates it into pieces. If that goal that Senegal scores is good and is truly 1-0 Senegal, we're looking at a 98-minute PK, which was looked like a PK, but all the drama kills it. And you're looking at a 1-1 game that's going into overtime. But because of all this stupidity, now we have, did Brahim Diaz shoot that PK on purpose into the Senegalese goalers' hands? Now you're starting to fuck with the integrity of the game. So I don't care if you're from Senegal. I don't care if you're from fucking Morocco. What I care is that now you're starting to fucking fuck with the integrity of the game. And you're screwing around with Brahim Diaz. Whether you're putting him, is he going to, did he do this on purpose or not? Because if I'm someone where, guys, hey, you said yes to betting on sports games. If I'm someone who put my fucking house on Morocco to win this fucking cup, and Brahim Diaz shoots it into the Senegalese goaler on purpose, I'm one pissed off fucking Moroccan.
So you think that's what happened? You think he did it on purpose?
I don't know if he did it on purpose. But there's rumors. Senegalese goaler says he shot it to score. Others are saying he did it on purpose. I don't care about that. You're fucking with the integrity of the game. AFCON as a region of FIFA who takes teams and brings them to the World Cup. This is very, very bad. Very, very bad. Very bad.
Yeah, it's not a good look for sure. There was definitely this kind of controversy is not what you want around your tournament. God knows what we're going to get this summer over here. It's not looking good.
This was crazy. The towel takes the cake. Leave the fucking hashtag leave Mendy's towel alone.
All right, let's get to our last topic here. Milan Roma this weekend. Kind of what are you expecting to see? I'll just say quickly my thoughts. I want to see Folkrug from the start, if possible. I'd like to see him in Pulisic. I think you give Leao the chance to rest. And you go back to Modric, Rabiot. And I'm sorry to say this. It's going to be Fofana. I know nobody wants it, but it's going to be Fofana. Let's hope Pavlovic will be healthy enough to be able to play, and we go everybody else the same. But I would really love, I'd love a 2-0 victory, but I think it's going to be 1-0, same style. I think we put it on Roma. Roma's not that good. Let's see how we handle their new signing there. And other than that, what are your thoughts on Roma, Milan?
Roma's going to be jacked for this one. They want to climb the table. They think that they're up there with the top four of the league. I want Milan to play and get 3 points. I don't care how it is. I think even if it's ugly, I'm okay. You know, echoing what Jamie put in the chat there, I'm okay with a draw away to Roma. I'm okay with that if Milan shows up to play. I'm not okay with that if we're playing scared. I think that this Milan has to go to Roma and has to play with no fear and has to try to get 3 points because we cannot make Inter get, you know, a 6-point lead, a 5-point lead. That's, you know, that you're asking for 2 mistakes, which may or may not happen. I'm looking at what Milan wants to do in their park, on their side of the ball, and that's, you know, absorb pressure and try to get them on the counter. And I agree with you. If Leao is not 100%, put someone there like Folkrug where we could stretch the field. He holds up play and everybody plays off Folkrug. And I think we would be able to get chances on that.
I agree too. A big game for Salamakas playing against one of his former clubs. So
he might not be there.
Oh, that's right.
He might be out because of the knock. That's right, interesting. Well, interesting to see.
If that's not the case and you're still going to play Leao and Pulisic, then go 3-4-3. Here's an opportunity. Now you don't have.
He can probably keep that 3-5-2 and put Pulisic on the right wing and maybe put, you know, Leao and Folkrug up top.
Or even Folkrug and Nkunku, and you give Leao a chance to breathe a little bit. I mean, again, you have to find it. I don't think Jashari gets this one. Hopefully he gets 20 minutes maybe at the end of the game if we're two goals up. Other than that, all right, last couple of things here, guys. Vintage Pitch, always a partner of the show, so check out Vintage Pitch Apparel. There's bundles are in there. There's no code needed. Retro football and vintage sportswear, Steve, with the great MWP shirt that's available as well. Right, Steve? Is it available already?
Available online in white and in black. La Scala del Calcio in the back.
So check it out. Go check out Vintage Pitch Apparel on Instagram and TikTok. So definitely check them out. Support the brand that supports our show, which supports our buddy Stevie P in his endeavor. Guys, everybody out there, me and Steve, we appreciate you taking your time, putting your input, sharing your time with us and talking culture, talking Milan. It's what we matter. What matters most to us in regards outside of our families and other more serious things, Milan is always at the core of our hearts. Any final thoughts, Steve, before we say goodnight here?
Guys, this is a very pivotal portion of our season. We're going to go through some ups and downs, hopefully some ups, more so than downs. Let's stay positive. Let this Mercato finish. And then, guys, it's the end run of the marathon, guys. It's the end run to the doppio stelle. Doppio stelle.
Yes. Guys, thank you, everybody, for watching. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button. Leave a comment if you're listening later. Everybody, thank you all so much for tuning in tonight. There's no Coast to Coast, but we did drop a video early this morning. So like we said, go check out the report card video for me and Gio. Everybody else, enjoy your week, and we will see you next Monday night after Milan Roma. Ovunque e sempre.
Forza Milan!
Forza Milan, everybody. Good night.